Well, welcome everybody to Wednesday night's Women's Bible Study. It is nice to have everybody here, and as we finish out Luke, we'll be reading through Luke chapter 24 tonight, and I have Karen and Megan. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, all.
Hello.
And I don't know if any of you have anything to share or that you'd like to look back on before we start.
Maybe if we start a little bit before the beginning of 24?
Certainly.
Chapter 23:55.
Yep.
Was that what you were going to say, Megan?
No, I was actually going to mention we had, Robin and some of her family and I and Steve had gone to watch The Passion of the Christ when it came out. And it was a bit disappointing in many aspects, but that's not what this is about. The movie kind of ended as Jesus was hanging on the cross, and then there was this black screen for several seconds. And that's kind of where, the promise that you read last week kind of comes in. It's where the end of Luke chapter 23 ends with, is this dark screen. Everything's dark. And I was very disappointed because that's not the end of the story. But the one redeeming quality for me in that movie was that they showed Jesus rise, which we know is, he didn't just come to die because that would have made him like anybody else. But he came to do many things, of which die and rise were kind of a culmination of many of it. And so we don't just leave him dead on the cross. He's about to rise, which is just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Amen. So, Karen, picking up on the day of Christ's death in chapter 3, verse 55, to lead us into the context of the beginning of 24.
And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus.
Okay, you can stop there for a minute. So we see on the day of his death that it was a day that preceded the Sabbath, so they got these spices and ointments prepared, and they had to then wait. And so they come on Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that the Christian church celebrates Christ, because it is the day of his resurrection. And they come and they, and others went with them, we see there too, other than just the women in chapter 23. And they go and they find not only the stone rolled away, but that the Lord Jesus is not there. And remember, as Megan pointed out, that this is a time of mourning for them because they don't yet know that their Lord is resurrected and the purpose of his death on the cross. They don't yet have their understanding opened. So if you'd like to pick up there then, Karen.
And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.
Okay, just stop right there for a minute. So that is an interesting first words to these women. Why seek you, you know, why are you seeking the living among the dead? And then they explain that which they had already heard, and that was that Christ had told them that this had to happen, but that he would rise again. And so, not that they're, this is clarified for them, but these are the first words of hope that have been spoken to the followers of the Lord Jesus. And it is to these women, Mary Magdalene, as we know, Christ cast seven devils out of. She wasn't like somebody we would have hoped to have been like before she came to know Christ. And yet, you see, you know, he who is forgiven much loveth much, and you see that in Mary Magdalene, and you see, and we will see how that love of Christ is blessed, and here is the beginning of that particular blessing to these women and to her. But this is the beginning of them beginning to understand and their sorrow to depart.
And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not.
Yeah. So here we have who it was that were the others that went with Mary Magdalene. And then when they didn't believe them because they saw them as idle tales, I looked up that word, silly nonsense would be another way of putting it. You know, they didn't give credence to the testimony of these women. And of course, the women had been given this testimony to give them, both for them, but also to go, and they did exactly as they ought. They went and shared this with the apostles, and they didn't believe their testimony. So, picking up on verse 12 there, Karen.
Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
Yep, so Peter, being Peter, who was always quick to action, he ran to check it out. And, of course, we see that he saw what they saw, an empty tomb with the linen clothes. And I believe just Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped him in the linen in the sepulchre. And, of course, he doesn't yet himself understand the meaning of this. He doesn't yet understand that they're there because Christ has risen from the grave. So picking up there.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together. Furlongs is, I looked that up, and it's 201 meters, which is about an eighth of a mile, which means 60 furlongs is about 7 miles. So that kind of gives us an idea of how far away it was.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're walking. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him.
And that just means that, you know, they were kept from recognizing who it is who had come up to walk with them. So they have no idea that this is Jesus.
And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not.
Okay. So Jesus joins himself to these two gentlemen, and really we know nothing more about them other than they were followers of Christ, and we see their testimony here. They ask him, you know, is he a stranger here in Jerusalem where he doesn't know the things that had come to pass in these days? It was, you know, I mean, Jesus walked for 3 years ministering in a mighty way, and then he had just been falsely accused and crucified. And so, few people that would have been in that area wouldn't have known of these things. And they ask him, are you a stranger that you don't know these things? And then they give Jesus the testimony of who and what their hope in him had been. You know, he asks them, and notice when he asks them what they're talking about and why they are sad. You could tell that their conversation, that these were men who were carrying a sorrow. And he asks them, why are you sad? And they give explanation and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And that they had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. So, you know, they had seen him as the one whom the scriptures had spoken of. And his death to them was the negation of that hope. And we know that not only because of their words and because of the testimony of scripture, but also, you know, we read the promise last week, which the Lord gave Davy, that clearly showed the state these people were in. They hadn't rejected Christ. They just, their hopes had been dashed. And they were really at a loss. And so then they go on to say that, you know, this is now the third day since these things had happened. And then gave the testimony of the women that we read earlier, how they had gone, seen a vision of angels, and the body of Christ was no longer in the tomb. And they also then give the testimony of Peter, who went and it said certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, which would imply more than just Peter. We know Peter did. Actually, Peter and John did in another gospel. We know they both did. And found that the woman's testimony of the empty tomb and the linen clothes there being laid was a true one. And so they tell Jesus. They give answer to him. He asks them and they tell him. They tell him of the hope they had had and that which had transpired. Did either of you want to pull something out of that before we move into Jesus' answer to them? You know, one thing in thinking about this chapter today, and I think we may see what prompted this in me as we go forward, but these people had witnessed the hour of darkness, and they had seen what to them was the victory of the enemy. They didn't know the victory that was to come and the necessity of these events. And so they were stuck on the darkness of this, in their understanding of this time. And, it's hard to imagine, although there are times that we go through also that seem dark. You know, we can see in ourselves how we don't apply the truth in the midst of those times oftentimes and can feel hopeless. And these people, in a way that transcends that, were in just that state. So picking up on verse 25. Go ahead, Megan.
Another thing is that they're hopeless. They thought it was him. Now he's not even there. His body's not even there anymore. You know, where's his body gone? So it's not even that they can go there to go and mourn, or the women have testified that he's not there.
And that he actually is living. Why seek you the living among the dead?
Sure. So there's a certain kind of bewilderment, I would think, that they had.
And they haven't given up being together or anything. You know what I'm saying? They were still a people, a group, you know, separate from others. Were you finished?
Yes, ma'am.
Apologize for that. So, Karen?
Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
Okay, now, before you go on to hear what he says, you know, I mean, they still don't, just remember, they don't know that that's who they're speaking to here. He's speaking to them without their eyes yet being opened, without their understanding yet being enlightened, so to speak. And, you know, it's kind of a harsh thing. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It was all there for them to see, and yet they hadn't yet seen it. And so you can see now what he then does to expound to them.
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Okay. And they drew nigh unto the village whither
just
they went.
Just hold on 1 second there. I apologize. I wanted to, you know, it's kind of interesting because listening to the men's Bible study in Acts where Paul goes in and from the scriptures, meaning the Old Testament, he shows Christ. And I wanted to throw out there for people who may want to look up some scriptures that very clearly speak of this time. Some I think everybody may know, and some you may not know. So I'm just going to throw a few out that speak directly to this. The very first prophecy that looks towards Jesus is Genesis 3:15. But then you have Psalm 22, which I think most people are familiar with. You have Isaiah 53. You have Exodus 21. You have a portion of Isaiah 50 and 52. And so if you wanted to take a look and see some of the scriptures that spoke of this, that we know that he used, what does it say? He expounded to them in all the scriptures. So all that spoke to this, he brought them to as they were walking. Those are just a few identified for you. And you notice here all in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He is the one who is going to redeem Israel. They just didn't yet know the fullness of what he had to do to do so. So, go ahead then, Karen, starting again at 28.
And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
Okay. So, you know, as they're going, and now they've had this man come and preach to them and minister to them in the exact same way he did when he was prior to his death and resurrection. I mean, he didn't heal, but he ministered the scriptures and opened them up and brought the kingdom of God. And so they constrained him, a right thing, to not continue on and to stay and have a meal with them. And it was when he broke the bread and blessed it and gave it to them that their eyes were opened and they knew him. And as soon as that had been done, he departed. He disappeared out of their sight. So here's the third testimony, or the second in this chapter thus far, of Jesus appearing to people. And, well, actually, the first one, because we don't see here where Mary Magdalene nor Peter actually did, but we know they did. So here's a third testimony of Christ appearing to his followers, that they might understand the scriptures, and as he said up there, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And so he expounds so that he might understand. And so their reaction, Karen, in verse 32 there?
And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Now, I wanted to stop there for a second because Megan has a testimony, I think, of some similar thing in her life.
Verse 32?
Yeah.
Well, I've been in church a lot for, 18 years or so, and there have been some things that did not make sense to me that were preached. Things like the church is the bride of Christ, and predestination versus not predestination. And there were things that just were little questions that kind of sat out there for me that were never answered or settled. And when I came over for Rick and Sue's blessing, we had a Bible study on that Wednesday night down in South Carolina. And every single one of those questions that I'd had was answered. And this, if I'd read it at the time, would have described what I, my joy, if you will, my response to hearing the word and hearing it. It was just right. It was really cool that, our heart burned within my heart, if you will, burned within me as Davey and Steve were talking and opening up the word and telling, kind of, I think, having a Bible study that hits on sort of points that are erroneously taught in a lot of churches and obviously all the ones I'd been in. And so the scriptures were opened up to me, and that was a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Obviously, you know, these two men, Jesus himself was there and laid it all out. Davey and Steve did that for me back then, and that I'm very thankful for that.
Amen. The rightly divided word. So, Karen, verse 33.
And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread.
Okay, so here we have now more testimonies. And we see here that the Lord did appear to Simon here. And their testimony there is the Lord is risen indeed. I mean, now they know, or coming to know, in fact, that Jesus has resurrected from the dead. And then they tell their experience with Jesus as they were walking. And one other thing to note is here they were at Jerusalem. They had constrained Jesus to stay because it was getting on toward even. And as soon as they had broken bread and he departed, they immediately went back those almost 7 miles or about 7 miles to go back to give this testimony. They went back and joined again with the disciples and brought that which had been given unto them now. Which is pretty cool, and as it ought to be. So, picking up on verse 36 there.
And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you.
Okay. Jesus came to a people who were slow to hear and understand. And he comes and he brings God's peace to them. And these men and women received that peace at Jesus' word. And it isn't a light thing to think about that, because when we don't believe God, we're not taking him at his word. And these people did, you know, peace be with thee. And they received that peace, that reconciliation with God, which is why he did what he did. And we're going to see that as we go down. And we see right away that at first they don't receive that peace because they were terrified and afraid, supposing they had seen a spirit. It's kind of funny. We got him. He's now, we know, appeared to Peter. He's risen from the dead, and that means he's alive. The women came back and said the testimony of the angels was that, why seek you the living? He's alive among the dead. We got these two men who are walking, who Jesus sat, broke bread with, and their eyes were opened. He's alive. And now they're afraid because they think they've seen a spirit. It's kind of funny if you think about it, but I say that. I mean, I'm sure I'm, in no way do I doubt I would have done the exact same thing. But when you read it and see how we are.
I was just going to say that's how we are.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how, D-U-M-B stupid, as Davey says, we can be.
Yeah.
And so I went ahead and read 37 there. So Jesus says to them, peace be unto you. They then are terrified, thinking they're in the presence of a spirit. And in verse 38.
And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have.
Okay. Now, you know, Jesus bore those wounds, and I believe that you see here that the evidence of that was still upon him. I know in another place, Thomas had said, I won't believe unless I can stick my hand in his side, and I think he also made reference to the nails in his feet, and Jesus says to him, you know, stick your hand in my side. So, you know, Jesus was wounded for our transgression, and here you see the risen Lord, but bearing the wounds that he bore for forgiveness of sins. Handle me and see. So, you know, touch me. I am real. So, going ahead.
And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them.
So now, you know, I mean, they're struggling with this. I mean, this is, I want to say this was unanticipated, but they're having a hard time getting their heads wrapped around the fact that the man they saw hanging across and die and get put into a tomb and a stone rolled away is no longer there. And it's too much to take in, I guess, in a way. And so, you know, Jesus says he is wont to do, and he gives them what they need, and he, you know, gives them time, and he converses with them and reasons with them, you know, I mean, touch me, see. And then he shows them his hands and his feet. It's really me. And you notice there in verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, I mean, so in a way they're in a place of rejoicing, but in another way they don't quite get it yet. So they're betwixt the two, so to speak. But so he asked for meat, and they bring him a broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he did eat it before them. Further proof, as we'll see. Well, it's further proof that he is actually not a spirit, because a spirit doesn't eat. So 44.
And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
Okay. So he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And that might there, Karen had looked it up early, as to be able to or possible for them to understand the scriptures so that they could. And he said to them, you know, it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And I looked up that word behooved. It's oftentimes, or more often, translated meet or need or needful or ought or oughtest. And it means it is or was necessary. Behooved, be neat, must needs be needful, ought, should. I looked it up in Webster's also, and it's to be necessary. You know, God was faced with the knowledge of a people who's tended to rebel. And being a righteous God, that was unacceptable. And it breached the fellowship that man was created for. And it was the only way to redeem man from that was that he himself came to earth in the form of a man and paid the price for man, that through that price and through the faith in that price, man might be completely and perfectly reconciled unto God. And I wanted to read in Hebrews. It's the only other place in the New Testament where the word behooved comes, and it's actually a different Greek word, but it really means the same thing. It means to be under obligation, or it means similar. And it's in Hebrews 2. And I'm going to read just the last three verses of Hebrews 2, so 16 through 18. It says, for verily he took not on him the nature of the angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, that is Jesus, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we know that's another thing they had a hard time reconciling with their own, what, you know, shedding themselves of is, I think, more, and that is that repentance and remission of sins, or the gospel, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, not just Israel. And ye are witnesses of these things. Ye know it. You've seen it. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And that was the promise of the Father. And that is what they did. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, they had tarried, and the promise was sent, and they were endued with power in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, Karen, if you'd like to finish up there.
And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen.
And that's another thing that we see in Paul's journeyings, that he would always go to the temple, to the synagogue. I suppose the temple here in Jerusalem was a temple. And they worshiped God. And now they are on the other side of that time when they saw what to them was the victory of the enemy. And, you know, the truth is, they had some things to suffer themselves as they went forward in this preaching of the gospel among all nations. But chapter 23 was a chapter of sorrow, and chapter 24 was a chapter of rejoicing. And praise God. I leave it open to you guys.
And, you know, they went to Jerusalem after that because he asked them to go back to Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. So he was, you know, they were believing him and doing what he wanted them to do and were joyful. And it was must have been a really, really cool time for them at that point.
And I think they actually were already in Jerusalem. And they rose up the same hour, verse 33, and returned to Jerusalem.
Oh, right, because it says, tarry ye.
Yeah.
In the
but
city.
That was
so that
obedience.
Means stay there.
Yeah. And they were continually in the temple. I mean, I'm sure that they weren't there 24 hours a day, but they were there a lot, praising and worshiping God. And the testimony of the hope of those two men traveling on the road to Emmaus had been realized. Praise God. Megan, did you want to say anything before we say goodnight?
I don't think so. No, it's, well, as you said, the chapter before was one of great sadness. And here you have one of increasing joy, because, you know, this started out with sort of bewilderment and not quite sure what was happening, being astonished and whatnot. People seeing Jesus, not knowing whether it was real or not, even though his word had said it and told of him coming. But you see the end there. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. He had opened it up to them so that they could actually understand, they could see, and they did. And they were witnesses of the things that had happened, and they were able to praise him, and, I mean, amen, how it ends. It's pretty cool.
Amen, pretty cool. That's what I say, too. Awesome.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us, and may the Lord open up our understanding more and more. So,
amen.
Good night, all.